Welcome to An Uplifting Word as we share with you today, Choosing the Good Effect of Bad Problems. Dee and I will go to the Word and share with you, Choosing the Good Effect of Bad Problems. The Apostle Paul had returned to Jerusalem. After many years of absence, he returned to the land in which he was raised as a young man. One day he was in the temple of the Lord there in Jerusalem, and suddenly some non-Christian Jews recognized him. They immediately whipped up the crowd and created a riot. The people rushed into the temple, laid hold of the apostle, and violently drug him out of the temple, which doors were closed after they left. And in the street in front of the temple, the mob began trying to kill Paul. They were kicking, beating, throwing dust. It was a regular riot. During this horrible time, the commander of the Roman garrison in Jerusalem heard about the riot. With several soldiers, he rushed to the scene of the riot, broke it up, and took Paul into custody. As the soldiers were carrying Paul because of the violence of the crowd, they began climbing the stairs into the Roman barracks, and Paul said to the commander, "Sir, please let me speak to the people." The commander was absolutely shocked. He didn't know who this man was. He had assumed he was in a rebel who had led a group of radicals into the desert. The commander said, "Sir, do you speak Greek?" Paul said, "Yes, I am a Jew from the country of Turkey. Please let me speak to the people." The commander assented. The soldiers put him down. Paul stood on the steps, motioned with his hand, and began speaking about Jesus to the mob who was trying to kill him. The people quieted down whenever they heard Paul speaking in the vernacular of their own country. And Paul told them what Jesus had done for him. Now, can you imagine that? Here was a man brutally attacked by a vicious mob who was intent on killing him. And now he calmly stands on the stairs overlooking the people and begins sharing Jesus with them. It came to me one day, how in the world could Paul retain such self-control? That instead of fearing, instead of worrying, instead of trying to save his own life, he stood there confidently and shared with these people. I think Paul had learned that he could choose what problems did to him. You see, brother, sister, we often overlook the fact that we can choose the effect problems exert upon us. True, no one can choose their problems. Many of them just come into our life unexpectedly. Many of our problems are not caused even by us. They are the result of other people's actions or attitudes. But Paul had learned that you cannot choose your problems, but you always choose the effect problems exert upon you. And so, on this day long ago, Paul turned a bad problem into a good effect, and took the bad problem and turned it around and made it a preaching opportunity, a witnessing opportunity to tell a lot of people who didn't like him and didn't like Jesus that Jesus was real. He told them that Jesus was actual and that he loved them. Now, I think that Paul learned that he could choose the effect of problems from reading the Old Testament. I want us to go to some words that he read many, many times. Let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 30 and 31. Here we have the story of Israel standing at the border of the Canaan land, the promised land. They were about to enter into the land God had promised their ancestors. And yet there were problems. There were massive walled cities. There were well-organized, numerous armies. There were even giants in the land. So there were problems confronting the Israelis. But I want you to notice, one group of Israelis chose good effects of the problem. The other group chose bad effects. Numbers 13, verse 30, 31.
We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are."
Caleb and all these men were in the same situation, identical environment. Yet Caleb said, "We can do it. We can go up and we can take that land that God promised our ancestors." His fellow spies said, "No, we cannot. There are too many difficulties, too much opposition." So you see, it wasn't the problem that was the difficulty. It was the effect. The unbelieving spies chose the effect the problem exerted upon them, but Caleb chose the opposite effect. He chose good effects of bad problems. Then Paul would have read many, many times the 1 Samuel chapter 17 story of David and Goliath. Let's read 1 Samuel 17. We're going to read David's reaction to Goliath first, and then we're going to read the reaction of the Israeli army to Goliath. Verse 32 says,
"David said to Saul, 'Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him.'"
Let no one lose heart. "I will go fight him," David said. You see, it was a bad problem. I mean, Goliath was no pushover by any stretch of the imagination. He presented a challenge that seemed unconquerable. And yet David chose a good effect from a bad problem. But look at the Israeli soldiers, verse 24.
"When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear."
When they saw the problem, they ran in great fear. They were terrified. So Brother Paul was well acquainted with all these Old Testament stories. That's why he had trained himself to always choose good effects of bad problems. So this morning, let's go to the Word and let's see how you and I can choose good effects of bad problems. The first thing we must do to choose good effects, we must quit blaming God for bad problems. Quit blaming God for bad problems. You see, God does not cause everything. That's so hard for us to understand. We think of God as infinite, filling the whole universe, creator of all things, yet He is not the creator of all things. Let's read James chapter 1, verse 13. Here it says,
"When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone."
It tells you right there, God cannot be tempted by evil, and neither does He tempt anyone. So you see, enticement and temptation is not God's creation. He didn't cause it. Look at the same chapter, James 1, verse 17.
"Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light."
Every good and perfect gift comes from God. But not everything that happens in our life is a good and perfect gift. In fact, I'm going to go to the book of Jeremiah and share with you some verses I discovered a long time ago. Jeremiah chapter 19, verse number 5, describes the horrible practice of child sacrifice. The Jewish people had deteriorated into idol worship, and part of their idol worship was sacrificing their young children in fires to their gods. Look at what it says, though, about the Lord in Jeremiah 19, verse 5.
"They have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as offerings to Baal, something I did not command or mention, nor did it enter my mind."
Look at the last part of the verse. God in the verse says, they have offered their children in sacrifice to these idols. I want you to read the last part of the verse again. It's very important.
"Something I did not command or mention, nor did it enter my mind."
God did not command or mention anything about child sacrifice. And then the last phrase says, "It never entered my mind." You see, God's mind cannot conceive and imagine evil. And so here he was saying, this horrible practice of yours, it never came to my mind that you would degenerate into this level. Same book, Jeremiah 7, verse 31.
They have built the high places of Topheth in the valley of Ben-Hinnom to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, something I did not command, nor did it enter my mind.
Something I did not command, nor did it enter my mind that they would sacrifice their children to their gods. So you see, brother, sister, God does not cause everything. And so we need to make sure that we don't blame God for bad problems. Blame directed against God originates in wicked human nature. Even if we're believers, even if we love Jesus, yet we have to recognize that the old man still lives in us. The carnal man, the unregenerate man still lives in us. That unregenerate man will blame God because it's hard set against God. In fact, let's read a word picture of our wicked human nature. Romans chapter 8, verse 7.
The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so.
The hostile mind, the carnal mind, the wicked mind, it is hostile against God, and it will not submit to God. It easily blames God for bad problems. And that will always lead to bad effects from bad problems. One more verse. Proverbs, please, chapter 19, verse number 3. Here, this verse tells us that we create our own problems as humans, but we find fault with God. Proverbs 19:3.
A man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord.
We could put a culture or a nation's own folly ruins their lives, but who gets the blame? It says, our hearts rage against the Lord. Not only in Christianity, but in Buddhism, so many, many other religions find fault with God during bad times, because that is human nature. But blame against God guarantees bad effects from bad problems. It's a loser's way. Finding fault with God, accusing Him of this or that, it guarantees bad effects from bad problems. In fact, when Israel stood at the border of the Promised Land, about ready to march into the wonderful country God had given them and promised for them and provided for them, look at what the people did. The people who listened to the unbelieving spies, the spies who said, you cannot take that land. Numbers chapter 14, verse 3.
Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?
You see what they were doing? Why has the Lord, see, they were finding fault with God. Why has the Lord brought us to this land so that we might fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken captive. They were ensuring bad effects. But here's what we do. We want to replace blame against God with thanksgiving to God. We want to replace blame with thanksgiving. Brother, sister, you might feel blame against God. You might feel badly toward God. But don't yield to those feelings. That's just the carnal nature, the sinful nature. And you have Jesus in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You can say no to those feelings. And the best way to defeat blame against God is thanksgiving. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. In fact, the man we've been studying about this morning, Paul, the man who stood on those stairs in Jerusalem and preached Jesus to people who hated Jesus and who hated him, the Apostle Paul, he wrote this verse about thanksgiving. Notice what it says, Ephesians 5, verse 20.
always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. He said, don't categorize life into thankful things and into unthankful things. Don't categorize life and say, well, I'll praise God for this, but I'm not going to praise Him for that. No, give thanks in everything. Because, brother, sister, I'll tell you, blame against God cannot stand against thanksgiving to God. True, it takes faith in God to thank Him when things are not going well, when you are in pain, either emotional or physical pain. But that's what Paul said to do. And you can do it, brother, sister. You can do it because Jesus is in you. Listen to Paul's words, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18.
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
How incredible! Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, here was a man who knew what bad times were, who knew what good times were. He said he had spent several days and nights in the Mediterranean Ocean adrift because of shipwreck. He had faced peril in the city, peril in the country, peril from his own countrymen, peril from foreigners. He had experienced every kind of difficulty, and yet he said, give thanks in all circumstances, because he knew that God was in charge of the good days and the bad days. He was in charge whenever people treat you well and whenever they don't treat you well. So replace blame with thanksgiving, my brother, my sister. So, we want to quit blaming God for bad problems. Secondly, we want to start trusting God for good effects. We want to trust God for good effects of bad problems. God uses the harm people cause. God uses the harm devils cause. For example, here in Jerusalem, we read about the harm that Jewish mob caused whenever they violently rushed up on Paul. Paul was there in the temple, quietly minding his own business, going about the Jewish ritual worship. Suddenly these people are up on him, seize him, drag him into the street, start casting dust into the air, beating him violently, intending to kill him. And yet, God was preparing to use the harm these men caused for good effects. God was preparing the stage for the Apostle Paul to stand before several hundred unbelievers and tell them that Jesus was truly the Messiah, the Savior of the world. God used the harm others caused to bring about a good effect. Again, Brother Paul was steeped in the Old Testament. He loved the Old Testament, just like Jesus loved the Hebrew Scriptures. And Paul had read many times the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph, of course, was a young man sold by his brothers into Egyptian bondage. There in Egypt, things went from bad to worse. Joseph was accused of a crime he didn't commit, imprisoned for years. And yet, after Joseph was elevated to second in command of the Egyptian empire, his brothers came into the country. His brothers who had violently and ruthlessly sold him to Egyptian slavery. And notice what Joseph said to his brothers. Now, Joseph possessed the power to have them executed. He could have done anything he wanted to with his brothers. He could have sold them as slaves the way they sold him as a slave. But that wasn't in Joseph's heart. Let's read his words. Genesis 50, verse 20.
You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives.
Let's reread the first part of that verse.
You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good.
Isn't that beautiful? Joseph said to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended your actions for good. So, brother, sister, please remember, God can use all the harm you caused, or others brought up on you. God can use that harm for achieving good purposes, good effects. Just lift up your eyes to God. Take your eyes off of people. Take your eyes off of yourself. Don't live in regret over your own mistakes. Trust the Lord and let God transform harm into help. Give Him time. Quit blaming Him and start trusting Him. Romans 8:28. Here the scripture says,
we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him.
Look at that. In all things. That word is including everything that's ever happened to you in the past, in the present, or will happen to you in the future. In all things, God works. He's never idle. He's never fatigued. He's never worn out. He's continually working in your favor. Brother, sister, everything's in your favor when God and you are partners. So begin thanking God for the tough times. Thank God for the disappointments. Dee and I had a friend many years ago who attended a church in our town. She did not attend our church, but she attended another one, and she came down with cancer and had to go to MD Anderson and begin radiation, chemotherapy. She lost all her hair. She began putting on weight. And she told the story that one day in Houston, in the morning before going to MD Anderson for her treatments, she stood in front of a full-length mirror, saw her bald head and her bloated body, and started feeling sorry for herself. And suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to her, the scripture you and I read earlier, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." She said, "I'm not thankful. I'm resentful. I don't want this happening to me." But the Holy Spirit continued bringing that verse to her memory. And finally, in a very weak voice, she said, "All right. Thank you, God, for my condition." She continued thanking God. And gradually she began lifting her hands that were hanging limp at her side, until finally her hands were up in the air over her head and she was praising God. So, my sister, you can do it. We can trust God to take the harm others cause and use it for our help. We want to reject the question how, because that's what we do. We say, how can God take this harm, this disappointment, this struggle? How can God take my failures and use them to bring help? Well, we want to reject the question how. We want to quit asking it. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. As long as you're asking the word how, the question how, then you're not trusting in the Lord with all your heart, and you are leaning on understanding. But quit leaning on your understanding. Lean on His understanding. Give Him time. Let Him have a chance to work in your favor. Look at Psalm 139, verse number 6. Here it says,
such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
The psalmist admitted, such knowledge, there is some knowledge that is too lofty for me, and I can't attain to it. So, brother, sister, there are lots of things that you and me cannot understand about God because He's infinite. We cannot match His intellect, so quit trying. Relax. Quit asking, how can God do this? How can God do that? Just trust Him to bring about good effects to bad problems. Live by faith and not by sight. Live by faith in God, not faith in your own understanding. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7 simply says, we live by faith, not by sight. Start telling yourself that. Memorize that verse. 2 Corinthians 5:7. I live by faith. I live by faith and not by sight. Tell yourself that, because our determination must be, I will anticipate the good contained in bad problems. I will anticipate the good contained in bad problems. Some of the good we will not see until the next life. Lots of it we will see in this life. Either way, we must, brother, sister, make up our minds to choose to believe God for the good contained in bad problems. Let's read again what happened to Paul in Acts 21, verse 39, verse number 40.
Paul answered, I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please let me speak to the people. Having received the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd.
And spoke to them. Just a few minutes later, this crowd was attempting to murder him. But now, Paul seized the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. He took the good effects of bad problems. God was working in all of this. Sure, nobody likes to be beaten. Nobody likes pain. That's very, very true. But we all want good. And good is in store for those who choose the good effects of bad problems. We quit blaming God. And we start trusting God for the good. Let's pray. Father, it's really difficult for us humans to anticipate good from out of bad. But that's what your word wants us doing. God, I pray for all those who are listening that you would surge through them with the Holy Spirit and with the word of God. And that, God, you would give them victory so that they can take all their bad problems, bring them to you, lay them at your feet, and say, God, I'm going to look for the good because I trust the God who's always working out good for me. In your wonderful name, Jesus, we pray this. Amen.